you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
A good Sunday to you. This is the weekend edition of the LA Report. I'm Julia Paskin, and coming up after the headlines, you know those popular countertops made from synthetic stone? Well, it turns out they're making the people who cut and process them very sick. We'll explain why in just a few minutes, but first, here's what's happening around LA. Former Long Beach Police Chief Robert Luna has been sworn in as L.A. County Sheriff. Luna's victory over Alex Villanueva was only the second time in almost a century that an incumbent lost a re-election bid. During the ceremony, he said his department would be guided by three key principles.
Integrity, accountability, collaboration. If we embrace these three principles, I know we can be in a better place tomorrow than where we are today, and I'm very optimistic about the future of this department.
Luna's term officially begins Monday at noon. And the touring open streets event Ciclavia is in South LA today, shutting roads down for the enjoyment of bikers, skaters, and walkers. More than 7 miles from Exposition Park to Watts will be car-free along MLK Boulevard and Central Avenue. Ciclavia Executive Director Romel Pascual says he hopes the event helps participants appreciate the neighborhoods and discover things that they may miss when they're in a car.
When we take cars off the road and we have people-powered mobility, whether or not it's walking, running, skateboarding, cycling, you know, we experience our neighborhoods in a completely, completely different way.
The streets will be a car-free zone from 9 to 3. Our air quality has improved a lot since the 1970s, but the LA area is still the smoggiest region in the nation. Southern California air regulators just approved a plan to clear the air, including speeding up the transition to electric and other zero-emission technologies. Fontana resident and Sierra Club member Jennifer Cardenas says that's been a priority for people living in the communities burdened with the worst air pollution.
They are the ones whose health is impacted. They are the ones who worry about their children, having the ability to go outside without having an asthma attack or nosebleeds. They are the ones that have to worry if they can afford inhalers and the cost of medical treatments.
The vote passed 9-2, with some board members expressing concerns that the plan doesn't balance cost effectiveness with technological feasibility. Let's check on today's air quality while we're at it. Generally, it's rated as good today, but the amount of particulates in the air is more than twice the amount that the World Health Org recommends in their air quality guidelines. We've got a chance of rain today, but the storm is bringing less rain than anticipated. David Sweet is a meteorologist with the National Weather Service.
We're looking at amounts of about a quarter inch or less for LA County. So it looks like just some brief light rain occurring from late morning into the afternoon hours, and it should be over by sunset.
Dry tomorrow, but a 20% chance of rain returning Tuesday. A local production is reimagining the Christmas classic The Nutcracker with the use of puppetry. The Bob Baker Marionette Theater has adapted the classic ballet to be performed by large-scale marionettes on intricate sets. Nutcracker characters like Clara and the Sugar Plum Fairies and Waltzing Flowers are part of the performance, but director of partnership for the theater, Winona Bechtel, says the puppets add new elements to the holiday tradition.
There's a lot of effects that we incorporate that are classic puppetry moments, everything from shadow puppetry, silhouette sequence of an orchestra, to rainbow-colored openers that sing and dance at the top of the show.
The show runs almost daily until January 8th. Tickets and dates are at BobBakerMarionetteTheater.com. If you enjoy drama, intrigue, and romance, I hope you're keyed into live opera. A production of Puccini's Tosca is now at the LA Opera, and it's a perfect example of all of the emotion and action the genre has to offer. Grammy Award-winning opera soprano Angel Blue, who's from Los Angeles, stars in the title role of Tosca, and she joins us now. Angel, welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for inviting me to be here with you.
Delighted to have you. So you're starring now as Tosca, and that the character herself is an opera diva with some very human and relatable qualities, mainly
jealousy. She also has great integrity and braveness. Can you talk about finding the role of Tosca for this production?
She and I are quite similar in that, of course, she is an opera singer, but she's also a person who's just very passionate about life. And she's incredibly loyal and caring. We're both very stubborn, I think in a good way, but stubborn and very loyal and passionate about life and about the people whom we love.
And the villain is this corrupt police chief who has it out for Tosca's artist boyfriend. He also has some pretty sadistic designs on Tosca. What can you tell us about the human themes and the story without giving too much away?
I could say that Tosca is madly in love with her boyfriend. His name is Mario Cavaradossi, and he is also in love with her, but he's much more political than she is. And I would say that he actually puts politics before his relationship with Tosca. And because of that, the corrupt police chief, his name is Baron Scarpia. I think Scarpia sees that. He's a wise man in that he can recognize Tosca and her jealousy issues. He also recognizes Mario caring more about politics sometimes in his relationship. And he plays on both aspects of, I would say, both of the weaknesses of each character.
Tosca like really goes through it emotionally. And I'm just wondering, as a performer, like, how do you keep that energy up throughout the duration of the show? It's about 3 hours, right? So that's a lot of energy. How do you keep that up?
Yes, it is a lot of energy. You know, it starts for my character, for Tosca, it starts in the middle of act one, and it doesn't stop until the very, very end. And I think the way that I try to keep myself, I guess, consistent emotionally throughout the evening is that I'm really just trying to be as invested as I can in how she is feeling. And it helps, of course, because the opera is written by Giacomo Puccini, who's, in my opinion, really one of the greatest composers. And it helps to have the music be so lively as it is throughout. I mean, if you come and see the opera, you'll hear the drama and the orchestra sometimes before the singers are even singing.
And Angel Blue, what is next for you after Tosca closes?
After Tosca closes, I have a few concerts. I have one in Chicago and one in Brooklyn. And I think what I'm really most looking forward to, though, is I'm going back to the Metropolitan Opera to sing one of my favorite operas. And it will be my last time singing this opera. I'm actually retiring this opera, La Traviata, by Verdi. And La Traviata is just an absolutely amazing piece of music. But it will be my last La Traviata at the Metropolitan Opera in March of next year. And I'm really looking forward to that.
May I ask why you're choosing to retire that piece?
Yes, I'm retiring it because I've been singing it since I was, since I was about 16, when I first heard the opera. And I went to the Los Angeles County High School for the Arts, and we were doing opera scenes. And that was the opera that I was given was La Traviata. So I learned act one. My teacher at the time taught me the aria, A Forse Lui Sempre Libera. So it's been a very long time that I've been, you know, the better part of 20 years singing this role and really getting to know Violetta. And as an opera singer, you can sing something for a certain amount of time and then your voice changes. And with that change comes a different set of operas to learn and sing. So I'm actually experiencing that right now, where I'm going into heavier repertoire and more dramatic operas like Tosca.
Well, thank you so much. This is Grammy Award winning opera soprano Angel Blue. You can see her starring in Tosca, which is at the Music Center at the LA Opera, only for about one more week. The show ends December 11th. It's been a real pleasure talking with you.
Thank you so much.
We'll be back after this short break.
Imagine if you could charge your electric vehicle at the places you already love to eat, shop, and play. Whether you're at the movies, on your weekly grocery trip, or running errands at your local mall, Volta EV charging stations are built around your day-to-day and located in your community and nationwide. All you have to do is check in, plug in, and go about your day. It's EV charging made convenient. Download the Volta app to find your new favorite place to charge.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the LA Report. I'm Julia Paskin. Popular countertops made from synthetic stone are making the people who cut and process them sick. Some of them are even dying. Most of these workers are immigrants, and it's happening right here in Southern California. Our immigrant communities correspondent, Leslie Bearstein-Rojas, partnered with Public Health Watch to bring us this story.
I meet Juan Gonzalez Morin at a park near his apartment in Sun Valley. It's a clear fall day and the air is crisp, but he's struggling to breathe. He's gaunt, his clothes hang loosely on him. Next to him sits an oxygen tank. He's only 36. Gonzalez arrived in LA from Mexico 9 years ago and began working in the industry known as el mármol. It means marble, but refers to cutting all stone, in his case, mostly engineered stone. These pressed slabs of crushed quartz are mixed with plastic resin. They're a staple in kitchens these days as countertops. You see them displayed in big box stores. When workers cut, grind, or polish the slabs, like in this YouTube video, the slabs release fine dust particles 100 times smaller than a grain of sand. Once in the lungs, they can cause irreparable and often fatal damage.
Cuando uno llega, no tiene la idea de lo que uno se arriesga en ese trabajo.
Gonzalez says when he arrived here, he had no idea of the risks. He describes the conditions at the San Fernando Valley shop where he worked the longest.
You couldn't even see like 10 feet away to the next person. You could only tell there was a person working there because there was so much dust, like a whirlwind.
He says about 80% of the stone there was synthetic. The plastic resin smelled bad when it was cut. Like garbage, he says. Workers had to cut the slabs dry, without water, which is especially dangerous. Gonzalez wore a disposable mask, and there were big fans, but he says the ventilation system was inadequate. By late 2019, Gonzalez was coughing, short of breath. He went to a clinic and was told he had pneumonia.
Well, they gave me the treatment, and I kept working. But as time went by, I kept deteriorating more and more.
Until one day, about a year ago, when he felt so bad, he wound up in the ER at Olive View UCLA Medical Center in Sylmar. There, doctors performed more tests. Gonzalez learned he had silicosis, an incurable disease caused by inhaling large amounts of silica dust. It's afflicted miners and stone cutters since ancient times. But in recent years, new outbreaks have arisen with the popularity of synthetic stone, which contains more than 90% silica, much more than natural stone. Dr. Jane Fazio is a pulmonary physician at Olive View.
These particulates are inhaled and lodged into the small air sacs of the lungs and cause inflammation. And over time, that inflammation becomes fibrosis or scarring.
She says over time, this scar tissue grows and overtakes the lungs, depriving patients of oxygen. In an office at the hospital, her colleague, Dr. Nader Kamangar, clicks through CT scans of a silicosis patient's lungs.
And you can see all of these nodules that have kind of, they've all kind of conglomerated and formed these areas of scarring and mass-like densities that have really just basically taken away any semblance of normal lung tissue that's supposed to be there.
Kamangar says without a lung transplant, this patient likely won't survive past a year. Even with a lung transplant, a patient may live 5 or 10 more years at best. There are others like this. Kamangar and Fazio say there are about 30 known silicosis cases among stone fabricators in the LA area. Fazio says the San Fernando Valley has over 100 stone cutting shops. She believes the prevalence of synthetic stone is what's behind the rise in local cases.
These stones are pretty much the predominant material that these folks are using now, as opposed to 10 years ago when they almost didn't exist.
There are best practices in the industry, like stone cutting systems that use water to suppress dust, along with high quality masks and ventilation, but many shops fall short. Meanwhile, regulation has been sporadic. In 2019, the silicosis deaths of two brothers in the Bay Area prompted Cal OSHA to launch a special enforcement program for silica. It inspected about 100 workplaces and issued more than 500 citations, but the pandemic forced the program's suspension. The agency has since revived it, but said as of mid-November, there had been no new inspections. Synthetic stone companies we reached out to declined to comment. Meanwhile, some workers and surviving family members have filed lawsuits against the synthetic stone industry. Among them is 32-year-old Gustavo Reyes Gonzalez, who met us at his attorney's office in Long Beach. He struggled just to speak.
I did my best to take care of myself. But the artificial stone? I don't know. It's very bad.
Working as an independent contractor in Orange County, Reyes says he wore high-quality masks and used water while cutting, but he still developed silicosis. He was diagnosed in September 2021. By now, his weight has dropped from 160 to 115 pounds. His only hope now is a lung transplant, but getting one could take a year, and he's not sure he'll make it that long.
Well, I'm prepared for whatever happens. I've spoken to God. If it is my time to go, I'm happy to go with him.
In Sun Valley, Juan Gonzalez Morin says he's also hoping for a lung transplant, even if it just gives him a few more years. He has a lot to live for, a wife, a son, and three daughters, the youngest of whom is five. He's also filed a lawsuit. Gonzalez hopes consumers become more aware of the dangers that synthetic stone countertops pose to workers. He says people need to understand that behind their kitchens, there's blood and sweat, and even death. I'm Leslie Beristein Rojas.
Thank you for listening to the weekend edition of the LA Report. Suzanne Watley and Nick Roman will be back again tomorrow with the AM and PM editions. Until then, enjoy the rest of your weekend and try to take it easy. I'm Julia Paskin. The LA Report is produced by Michael Cosentino. The Weekend LA Report is engineered by Sean Corey Campbell. On weekdays, the LA Report is engineered by Brandon Bowles and Tui Mao. Special thanks to the reporters, editors, and the entire KPCC LAist newsroom. Support for this podcast is made possible by Gordon and Donna Crawford, who believe that quality journalism makes Los Angeles a better place to live.
This program is made possible in part by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people. The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.